ॐ गणकमलन्दस्य गुणजनशलकय चक्षुसमिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्थापितां जनभूतले स्वयं प्रकृतमायां ददति सा फलादिकाम् We've read how Haranyakashipu was killed by Lord Nrisimhadeva. Why? Because as predicted by the Lord, he had tortured the Lord's dear devotee Prahlad. We read that far, but we didn't complete all the purports. So read some verses and purports in that chapter and see if we can complete the 8th chapter of the 7th canto. So when Haranyakashipu attacked Lord Nrisimhadeva, the example was given in the verse. This is Narada Muni speaking to Yudhisthira Maharaj. The Lord was full of effulgence. He was so bright that Haranyakashipu became invisible when he attacked him. Just like when there's a burning fire and a small creature or an insect becomes close to that fire, you can't see the insect or the creature. So similarly, Haranyakashipu was so insignificant, even though he was so powerful in the material world, he was so insignificant when he came close to the effulgent Lord. This is text 24. And here is Prabhupada's purport. Oh, we'll read from the second half of Prabhupada's purport to text 24. The Lord appeared because of the bhakti yoga exhibited by Prahlad Maharaj. And as soon as the Lord appeared, the influence of Haranyakashipu's passion and ignorance was vanquished, as the Lord's quality of pure goodness, all the Brahman effulgence, became prominent. In that prominent effulgence, Haranyakashipu became invisible, or his influence became insignificant. An example illustrating how the darkness of the material world is vanquished is given in the Shastra. When Brahma was created from the lotus stem growing from the abdomen of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Lord Brahma saw everything to be dark. But when he received knowledge from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything became clear, as everything becomes clear when one comes from night to sunshine. The important point is that as long as we are in the material modes of nature, we are always in darkness. And what can we see in darkness? We see only inaccurately. And then on the other hand, when one's consciousness becomes clarified means purified of the lower modes of material nature, then naturally, in goodness, everything becomes clear, crystal clear. This darkness cannot be dissipated without the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is invoked by the practice of Bhakti Yoga. So that the Lord's presence is not only sattva, but it's based on sudha sattva, purified goodness. So when the Lord appears, automatically all darkness and ignorance disappears. Krishna Surya Sam, Maya Haya Andhakar. So that is the issue of our life, practically speaking, of our existence. How? To keep the Lord always present, appearing within our consciousness. And automatically all the darkness and ignorance and passion which causes us so much trouble is gone. Just as Krishna Surya Sam, Maya Haya Andhakar. Undercard darkness dissipates as soon as the sun appears. Bhakti yoga creates a transcendental situation with no tinges of material contamination. So then, Haranyakashipu attacked the Lord with his club. But Lord Nrisimhadev captured the great demon, just like Garuda made capture a snake. But then, as they were fighting, because Lord Nrisimhadev, or rather Hirandyakashipu, was sent to the material world as with Hiranyaksha, as giant Vijay, because the Lord wished to fight, and he could only have a suitable battle with someone of incredible strength. And to have someone of that magnitude of strength, he had to be almost on an equal level with the Lord to make it a good fight. Because fighting is done between equals, and then it's exciting. So of course no one is equal to the Lord, but someone from the Lord's abode, two gatekeepers, they were chosen to participate in this leela. So when Lord Nrisimhadev was fighting with Hiranyakashipu, he slipped from his hands. That's like sometimes a cat, when he's captured a mouse, may let him go away to play with him. Or Garuda may do the same with a snake. But the demigod, seeing that Hiranyakashipu had escaped from the grasp of Lord Nrisimhadev, they became terrified because he was so much more powerful than they, and he was causing them so much grief. Here's Prabhupada's short purport. When Hiranyakashipu was in the process of being killed by Lord Nrisimhadev, the Lord gave the demon a chance to slip from his clutches. This incident was not very much appreciated by the demigods, for they were greatly afraid of Hiranyakashipu. Actually, when Lord Varahadev killed Hiranyaksha, he also let him slip away for a few moments, and Lord Brahma and the Brahmanas who were present said, kill him, don't spare him. They were also in anxiety. So the demigods knew that if somehow or another Hiranyakashipu escaped from the Srinagadev's hands and saw that the demigods were looking forward to his death with great pleasure, he would take revenge upon them, great revenge upon them. Therefore they were very much afraid. So when Hiranyakashipu was freed from Lord Srinagadev's grasp, he thought Srinagadev was afraid of him. And he took a little rest, and then with sword and shield he again attacked the Lord with great force. Oh, purport, text 27. When a sinful man enjoys material facilities, foolish people, now this is very pertinent to this time, some of the purports that are coming up. When a sinful man enjoys material facilities, foolish people sometimes think, how is it that this sinful man is enjoying, whereas a pious man is suffering? By the will of the Supreme, a sinful man is sometimes given the chance to enjoy the material world as if he were not under the clutches of material nature, just so that he may be fooled. A sinful man who acts against the laws of nature must be punished, but sometimes he is given a chance to play, exactly like Hiranyakashipu when he was released from the hands of Nrisimhadev. Hiranyakashipu was destined to be ultimately killed by Nrisimhadev, but just to see the fun, the Lord gave him a chance to slip from his hands. So the Lord, Hiranyakashipu, was moving in the sky and using all his powers to fight the Lord, but his eyes were closed out of fear of Lord Nrisimhadev. But then Lord Nrisimhadev finally grabbed him and placed him upon his thighs, and he began to tear the demon to pieces with his nails. Purport. Hiranyakashipu had received from Lord Brahma the benediction that he would not die on the land or in the sky. Using his great intelligence, he tried to outwit the Lord and the law of nature and Lord Brahma, who said that he could not award him immortality. So let me not be killed on the inside or outside, day or night, on the land, in the sky, in the sea. So many calculations he put forward, which he thought the totality of which would give him, award him immortality. So Hiranyakashipu had received from Lord Brahma the benediction that he would not die on the land or in the sky. Therefore, to keep the promises of Lord Brahma intact, Nrsingadev placed Hiranyakashipu's body on his lap, which was neither land nor sky. Hiranyakashipu had received the benediction that he would not die either during the day or at night. Therefore, to keep this promise of Brahma, the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu in the evening, which is at the end of day and the beginning of night, but it is neither day nor night. Hiranyakashipu had taken a benediction from Lord Brahma that he would not die from any weapon or to be killed by any person, dead or alive. Therefore, just to keep the word of Lord Brahma, Lord Nrsingadev pierced Hiranyakashipu's body with his nails, which were not weapons and were neither living nor dead. Indeed, the nails can be called dead, but at the same time they can be said to be alive. To keep intact all of Lord Brahma's benedictions, Lord Nrsingadev paradoxically but very easily killed the great demon, Hiranyakashipu. Because no matter how smart someone is, they cannot outsmart the Lord. And therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that of cheating processes, I am the greatest of cheaters. I am the greatest cheat. Most clever. So then Hiranyakashipu ripped out his intestines, wore them around his neck as if a garland. Prabhupada's short purport. The hair on Lord Nrsingadev's face being sprinkled with drops of blood. Was reddish and looked very beautiful. Lord Nrsingadev pierced Hiranyakashipu's abdomen with his nails, pulled out the demon's intestines, and wore them as a garland, which enhanced his beauty. Thus the Lord became very fearsome, like a lion engaged in fighting an elephant. He took out Hiranyakashipu's heart, so it may seem gruesome, but it is actually so wonderful, and it gives the devotee so much pleasure. Just like when Krishna killed Kamsa, he dragged Kamsa's body around the wrestling arena to show that he was actually dead, that he had killed Kamsa. So he threw Hiranyakashipu's side, ripped out his heart, and began to fight with the soldiers, Hiranyakashipu's soldiers, and Lord Nrsingadev killed them all with the ends of his nails. We read from Prabhupada's purport. Within a second, Hiranyakashipu and his followers were destroyed. He thought he was invincible. This is not from the purport. He thought he was invincible. And to the demigods, he may even have seemed invincible. Of course, they knew he wasn't. Why? Because the Lord had promised that he would kill him when they came to him fearfully many chapters ago. But he appeared to be invincible, and no one could stop him. Everyone was subjugated by him. He was conquering the universe. He was the conqueror of the universe. Within a second, Hiranyakashipu and his followers are destroyed. And similarly, if this godless civilization continues, it will be destroyed in a second, simply by the movement of one finger of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demons should therefore be careful and curtail their godless civilization. They should take advantage of the Krishna consciousness movement and become faithful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, they are doomed. As Hiranyakashipu was killed in a second, the godless civilization can be destroyed at any moment. Hiranyakashipu and the soldiers dead, Lord Nrsingadev began roaring, and all the elephants in the world began to cry in fear. By his power, everything in the universe practically became disturbed. Text 34. Manifesting a fearful effulgence and fearsome countenance, Lord Nrisimha, being very angry and finding no contestant to face his power and opulence, then sat down in the assembly hall on the excellent throne of the king. Because of fear and obedience, no one could come forward to serve the Lord directly. So he sat down on Hiranyakashipu's throne. He was the Lord, not Hiranyakashipu. Prabhupada's purport. When the Lord sat on the throne of Hiranyakashipu, there was no one to protest. No enemy came forward on behalf of Hiranyakashipu to fight with the Lord. This means that his supremacy was immediately accepted by the demons. Another point is that although Hiranyakashipu treated the Lord as his bitterest enemy, he was the Lord's faithful servant in Vaikuntha, and therefore the Lord had no hesitation in sitting on the throne that Hiranyakashipu had so laboriously created. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that sometimes with great care and attention, great saintly persons and rishis offer the Lord valuable seats dedicated with Vedic mantras and tantras, but still the Lord does not sit upon those thrones. Hiranyakashipu, however, had formerly been Jai, the doorkeeper at the Vaikuntha gate, and although he had fallen because of the curse of the brahmanas, and had gotten the nature of a demon, and although he had never offered anything to the Lord as Hiranyakashipu, the Lord is so affectionate to his devotee and servant that he nonetheless took pleasure in sitting on the throne that Hiranyakashipu had created. In this regard, it is to be understood that a devotee is fortunate in any condition of his life. Text 36 and 37 to 39. Or read 35, 36, 37, 38, 39. Hiranyakashipu had been exactly like a fever of meningitis in the head of the three worlds. Thus when the wives of the demigods and the heavenly planets saw that the great demon had been killed by the personal hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their faces blossomed in great joy. The wives of the demigods again and again showered flowers from heaven upon Lord Nrisimhadev like rain. At that time, the aeroplanes of the demigods, who desired to see the activities of the Supreme Lord Narayan, crowded the sky. The demigods began beating drums and kettle drums, and upon hearing them, the angelic women began to dance, while the chiefs of the Kandavas sang sweetly. My dear King Yudhisthira, who is speaking? Narada Muni is narrating this entire pastime to Yudhisthira. My dear King Yudhisthira, the demigods then approached the Lord. They were headed by Lord Brahma, King Indra, and Lord Shiva, and included great saintly persons and the residents of Pitriloka, Siddhaloka, Vidyadhara Loka, and the planets of the snakes. The Manus approached, and so did the chiefs of various other planets. The angelic dancers approached, as did the Gandharvas, the Charanas, the Yakshas, the inhabitants of Kinara Loka, the Vitalas, the inhabitants of Kimpurusha Loka, and the personal servants of Vishnu, like Sunand and Kumuda. All of them came near the Lord, who glowed with intense light. They individually offered their obeisances and prayers, their hands folded at their heads. So now, these different exalted personalities offer prayers to the Lord. They will express their realizations according to their individual services that they perform. And Hiranyakashipu, all of these personalities had been dealing with Hiranyakashipu, and he had stopped them using their natures, their own natural tendencies to serve the Lord. He was so powerful, Hiranyakashipu was. He stopped their using those tendencies in the Lord's service due to their fear of him. Lord Brahma, he began to pray. So everyone now was coming out with their realizations, and it's interesting to note how the realizations of the Lord are based upon one's own consciousness. So Lord Brahma, is going to say that He, the Lord, is the undeteriorating, powerful Creator, and no one can exactly understand Him or even understand His servants. Because Lord Brahma is the creator of this world, but He, Lord Nrsimhadeva, is the original creator. And Lord Brahma is the Vishaga, or secondary creator. And Lord Brahma, as the original person in the universe, the unborn, or unborn from material mother and father, is born directly of Govardhanasaya Vishnu. He is so intelligent, but yet he notes that he can neither understand the Lord. He can understand everything in this material world, but he can't understand the Lord, nor can he understand the Lord's servant. So here's his prayer. Lord Brahma prayed, "My Lord, You are unlimited, and you possess unending potencies. No one can estimate or calculate Your prowess and wonderful influence, for Your actions are never polluted by the material energy. Through the material qualities, You very easily create the universe, maintain it, and again annihilate it. Yet You remain the same, without deterioration. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto You." So many universes come from the Lord, not just this one. And within each universe there are Brahmas, and there are the modes of material nature to create, to maintain and destroy the universe. And yet all this emanates from the Lord. Although it all emanates from the Lord, He is not reduced by all these emanations. So many universes. If we give out our energy, our power, we are so quickly reduced. But look at the difference between us and the Supreme Personality of God. And look at the difference even between Lord Brahma, the most powerful entity in this world, and the Supreme Lord. No one can estimate how powerful He is. All one can do, at best, if one is pious enough, is be able to detect a small portion of the Lord's glories and potencies. And that small portion is according to our, from one point of view, according to our perspective. And the other point of view is that our perspective is influenced by what the Lord reveals to us due to that perspective. So how great is Krishna. Without understanding the greatness of Krishna, why will one surrender to Him? How will one have the confidence to surrender to Him? So Lord Shiva offers this prayer next to Lord Nrsimhadeva. Lord Shiva, of course, personifies, he is not in ignorance, but he carries the mode of ignorance in the material world for the purpose of acting on the Lord's behalf in the destruction of the universe. So Lord Shiva says, "The end of the millennium is the time for your anger. Now that this insignificant demon Hiranyakashipu has been killed, O my Lord, who are naturally affectionate to your devotees, kindly protect his son Prahlad Maharaj, who is standing nearby as your fully surrendered devotee." It is his anger, the Lord's anger, not Lord Shiva. Not that it's not Lord Shiva who destroys the universe, but it is the Lord acting through Lord Shiva. Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the creator of the material world. There are three processes in creation, namely creation, maintenance, and finally annihilation. During the period of annihilation, at the end of each millennium, the Lord becomes angry. And the part of anger is played by Lord Shiva, who is therefore called Rudra. When the Lord appeared in great anger to kill Hiranyakashipu, everyone was extremely afraid of the Lord's attitude. But Lord Shiva, knowing very well that the Lord's anger is also his leela, was not afraid. Lord Shiva knew that he would have to play the part of anger for the Lord. Kala means Lord Shiva, Vairav, and Kopa refers to the Lord's anger. Kalakopa is used, means in the verse, and Prabhupada in the word by words translates it as the right time for your anger for the purpose of annihilating the universe. Anger is used for annihilation. It was used to annihilate Hiranyakashipu, and the Lord's anger in the form of Lord Shiva will be used to annihilate the universe at some time. Kala means Lord Shiva, Bhairav, and Kopa refers to the Lord's anger. These words, combined together as Kopakala, refer to the end of each millennium. Actually, the Lord is always affectionate towards His devotees, even though He may appear very angry. Because He is Avyayatma, because He never falls down, even when angry, the Lord is affectionate toward His devotees. Therefore, Lord Shiva reminded the Lord to act like an affectionate father towards Prahlad Maharaj, who is standing by the Lord's side as an exalted, fully surrendered devotee. Next. So Brahma, Shiva, Indra now offers a prayer. O Supreme Lord, You are our deliverer and protector. Our shares of sacrifices, which are actually Yours, have been recovered from the demon by You. Because the demoniac King Hiranyakashipu is most fearsome, our hearts, which are Your permanent abode, were all overtaken by him. Now, by Your presence, the gloom and darkness in our hearts have been dissipated. O Lord, for those who always engage in Your service, which is more exalted than liberation, all material opulence is insignificant. They do not even care for liberation, not to speak of the benefits of kama, art, and dharma, for those who always engage in the Lord's service. How interesting. Indra is saying our hearts have been taken over by fear. But Shiva wasn't feeling fear, and Brahma wasn't, and Prahlad wasn't. And they were not subjugated by Hiranyakashipu. But even Indra was afraid of this demon. He was so powerful. And fear is compared to darkness, gloom and darkness. And the Lord is compared to light. So for those who engage in the Lord's service, the light of the Lord will always be in their hearts, vanquishing the gloom and darkness and fearfulness of material existence. So those who have that, those who are devotees who always engage in the Lord's service, they don't care for any situation, not even liberation. Because they may be in the material world, but they have no fear because of the Lord's association. So they don't care for liberation even, what to speak of kama, material desires, artha, wealth, and dharma, religiosity, to gain those things. Here's from Prabhupada's purport. So Indra is speaking like this. Because the government in Kali Yuga is full of demons, the living conditions of devotees are always disturbed. Devotees cannot perform jagya, and thus they cannot partake of the remnants of food offered in jagya for the worship of Lord Vishnu. The hearts of the demigods are always filled with fear of the demons, and therefore they cannot think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The engagement of the demigods is to think of the Lord always within the core of their hearts. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 6:47, Yoginam api savesham madgaten antaratmanam sharavan bhajate yomam samheyuktatamomataha. And of all yogis, He who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. The demigods fully absorb themselves in meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead to become perfect yogis. But because of the presence of demons, their hearts are filled with the activities of the demons. In other words, they're afraid and thinking about those who they fear. Thus their hearts, which are meant to be the abode of the Supreme Lord, are practically occupied by the demons. All the demigods felt relieved when Hiranyakashipu was dead, for they could easily think of the Lord. They could then receive the results of sacrifices and become happy, even though in the material world. Now the rishis will offer their prayers, and they will speak about austerity, because I'm part of the essential behavior of a saintly person, a rishi, a teacher, is the austerities that he performs. All the rishis, all the saintly persons present, offer their prayers in this way. O Lord, O Supreme Maintainer of those sheltered at your lotus feet, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the process of austerity and penance in which you instructed us before is the spiritual power of your very self. It is by austerity that you create the material world which lies dormant within you. This austerity was almost stopped by the activities of this demon. But now, by yourself appearing in the form of Nrisimhadev, which is meant just to give us protection, and by killing this demon, you have again approved the process of austerity. Because Hiranyakashipu had turned everything upside down. He was governing the universe by his own power. Nothing was working according to the laws set up by the Lord. And it seemed like he was invulnerable, and it seemed like everything was working perfectly. But he brought his own ruination due to his envy. Purport. The living entity wandering within the jurisdiction of the 8,400,000 species of life get the opportunity for self-realization in the human form, and gradually in such other elevated forms as those of the demigods, Kanaras and Charanas, as will be described below. In the highest statuses of life, beginning from human life, the main duty is tapasya, or austerity. As Rishabhdev advises his sons, tapo divyam putrakayena sattvam shudyet, to rectify our material existence, austerity, tapasya, is absolutely necessary. However, when people in general come under the control of a demon or a demoniac ruling power, they forget this process of tapasya and gradually also become demoniac. All the saintly persons who are generally engaged in austerity felt relieved when Hiranyakashipu was killed by the Lord in the form of Nrisimhadev. They realized that the original instruction concerning human life, that it is meant for tapasya, for self-realization, was reaffirmed by the Lord when he killed Hiranyakashipu. 44. The inhabitants of Pitraloka prayed, "Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Nrisimhadev, the maintainer of the religious principles of the universe. He has killed Hiranyakashipu, the demon, who by force enjoyed all the offerings of the Shraddha ceremonies performed by our sons and grandsons on the anniversaries of our death, and who drank the water with sesame seeds offered in holy places of pilgrimage. By killing this demon, O Lord, you have taken back all this stolen property from his abdomen by piercing it with your nails." He had consumed it, which was meant for others. He had taken everything, tried to enjoy everything as for himself. And he was trying to digest it all. And they said very cleverly that by ripping apart his abdomen, you have taken back all this stolen property by piercing it with your nails. We therefore wish to offer respectful obeisances unto you. Text 45. The Siddhas speak. The inhabitants of Siddhaloka prayed, "O Lord Nrisimhadev, because we belong to Siddhaloka, we automatically achieve perfection in all eight kinds of mystic power. Yet Hiranyakashipu is so dishonest that by the strength of his power and austerity, he took away our power. Thus he became very proud of his mystic strength. Now, because this rogue has been killed by your nails, we offer our respectful obeisance unto you. He had done so much evil and harm and caused so much difficulty and anxiety. He appeared invulnerable, but in a second he was finished by the Lord. The inhabitants of Vidyadhara Loka prayed, "Our acquired power to appear and disappear in various ways according to varieties of meditation was banned by that foolish Hiranyakashipu because of his pride in his superior bodily strength and his ability to conquer others. Now, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has killed him just as if the demon were an animal. Unto that supreme pastime form," he's a Leela avatar, "unto that supreme pastime form of Lord Nrisingadev, we eternally offer our respectful obeisances." The inhabitants of Nagaloka said, "The most sinful Hiranyakashipu took away all the jewels on our hoods and all our beautiful wives. Now since his chest has been pierced by your nails, you are the source of all pleasure to our wives. Thus we together offer respectful obeisances unto you." Just see how much he caused everyone a different trouble according to their natures. Whatever opulences they had, whatever abilities they had, he thwarted and took for himself to increase his own power. Tortured everyone. He took away their ability to serve the Lord or act naturally according to their natures. Prabhupada's purport to the prayers of the inhabitants of Nagaloka. Naga means snakes, the land of snakes. "No one is peaceful if his wealth and wife are forcibly taken away. All the inhabitants of Nagaloka, which is situated below the earthly planetary system, were in great anxiety because their wealth had been stolen and their wives kidnapped by Hiranyakashipu. Now Hiranyakashipu, having been killed, their wealth and wives were returned and their wives felt satisfied. The inhabitants of various lokas or planets offered their respectful obeisances unto the Lord because they were relieved by the death of Hiranyakashipu. Disturbances similar to those created by Hiranyakashipu are now taking place all over the world because of the demoniac governments. As stated in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the men of the governments of Kali Yuga will be no better than rogues and plunderers. Thus the populace will be harassed on one side by scarcity of food and on another by heavy taxation by the government. In other words, the people in most parts of the world in this age are harassed by the ruling principles of Hiranyakashipu." Text 48. The Manus offered their prayers as follows. "As your order carriers, O Lord, we, the Manus, are the Lord givers for human society. But because of the temporary supremacy of this great demon, Hiranyakashipu, our laws for maintaining Varnashrama Dharma were destroyed. O Lord, now that you have killed this great demon, we are in our normal condition. Kindly order us, your eternal servants, what to do now." Prabhupada's purport. In many places in Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord Krishna refers to the Varnashrama Dharma of four Varnas and four Ashramas. He teaches people about this Varnashrama Dharma so that all of human society can live peacefully by observing the principles for the four social divisions and our four spiritual divisions, Varna and Ashrama, and thus make advancement in spiritual life cooperatively according to one's nature and disposition. One adopts a position in the Varnas and Ashramas and works cooperatively in society as a community so that one's material needs can be met and one will nevertheless spiritually advance. In contemporary civilization, one meets one's material needs to one degree or another, but in such ways that one becomes spiritually degraded. So this is the art of organizing society, the art of organizing in such a way that one's material needs will be met in a way that is conducive to spiritual advancement. Prabhupada's purport continues. The Manus compiled the Manu Samhita. The word Samhita means Vedic knowledge, and Manu indicates that this knowledge is given by Manu. The Manus are sometimes incarnations of the Supreme Lord and sometimes empowered living entities. Formerly, many long years ago, Lord Krishna instructed the sun god. The Manus are generally sons of the sun god, and therefore while speaking to Arjuna about the importance of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, Imam vivasvate yogam prokavana hamavyayam vivasvan manave praha. This instruction was given to Vivashan, the sun god, who in turn instructed his son Manu. Manu gave the law known as Manu Samhita, which is full of directions based on Vana and Ashrama concerning how to live as a human being. These are very scientific ways of life, but under the rule of demons like Haranyakashipu, human society breaks all these systems of law and order and gradually becomes lower and lower. Thus, there is no peace in the world. The conclusion is that if we want real peace and order in the human society, we must follow the principles laid down by the Manu Samhita and confirmed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. The Prajapatis, the progenitors, offer their prayers as follows. O Supreme Lord, Lord of even Brahman Shiva, we, the Prajapatis, were created by you to execute your orders, but we were forbidden by Haranyakashipu to create any more good progeny. Now the demon is lying dead before us, his chest pierced by you. Let us therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto you, whose incarnation in this form of pure goodness is meant for the welfare of the entire universe. 50. The inhabitants of Gandhava Loka prayed, Your Lordship, we ever engage in your service by dancing and singing in dramatic performances. But this Haranyakashipu, by the influence of his bodily strength and valor, brought us under his subjugation. Now he has been brought to this low condition by your Lordship. What benefit can result from the activities of such an upstart as Haranyakashipu? Prabhupada's purport. Being a very obedient servant of the Supreme Lord, one becomes extremely powerful in bodily strength, influence, and effulgence, whereas the fate of demoniac upstarts is ultimately to fall down like Haranyakashipu. Haranyakashipu and persons like him may be very powerful for some time, but the obedient servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like the demigods, remain powerful always. They are victorious over the influence of Haranyakashipu by the grace of the Supreme Lord. 51. The inhabitants of the Charana planet said, O Lord, because you have destroyed the demon Haranyakashipu, who was always a snake in the hearts of all honest men, we are now relieved and we eternally take shelter of your lotus feet, which awards the conditioned soul liberation from materialistic contamination. Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his transcendental form of Narahari, the Sringadev, is always ready to kill the demons, who always create disturbances in the minds of honest devotees. To spread the Krishna consciousness movement, devotees have to face many dangers and impediments all over the world. But a faithful servant who preaches with great devotion to the Lord must know that Lord Nisringadev is always his protector. Some encouragement by Srila Prabhupada to the preachers, because it's dangerous to preach in this world, because there are so many demonically powerful individuals. But yet, the Supreme Lord always protects, and whatever happens is accepted as the Lord's mercy. The inhabitants of Yakshaloka prayed, O controller of the 24 elements, we are considered the best servants of your Lordship because of rendering service rendering service pleasing to you. Yet we engage as palanquin carriers by the orders of Hiranyakashipu, the son of Diti. O Lord, in the form of the Sringadev, you know how this demon gave trouble to everyone, but now you have killed him, and his body is mixing with the five material elements. Purport. The Supreme Lord is the controller of the 10 senses, the five material elements, the five sense objects, the mind, the intelligence, the false ego, and the soul. Therefore he is addressed as Panchavimsa, Vimsha, the 25th element. The inhabitants of the Yaksha planet are supposed to be the best of all servants, but Hiranyakashipu engaged them as palanquin carriers. The entire universe was in trouble because of Hiranyakashipu. But now that Hiranyakashipu's body was mixing with the five material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky, everyone felt relief. Upon Hiranyakashipu's death, the Yakshas were reinstated in their original service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus they felt obliged to the Lord and offered their prayers. Next, text 53, the inhabitants of Kimprushaloka. They said, "We are insignificant living entities, and you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller. Therefore, how can we offer suitable prayers unto you?" When this demon was condemned by the devotees because they were disgusted with him, he was then killed by you. Report. The cause of the Supreme Lord's appearance upon this earth is stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.7.8 by the Lord Himself. Yada yada hidamasya glanir bhavati bharata adhutaram adhamasya tadatmanam shijam yaham andinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. Whenever and wherever there is a decrease in religious principles and a predominant rise in a religion, at that time I descend myself. To deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. The Lord appears in order to execute two kinds of activities, to kill the demons and to protect the devotees. When the devotees are too disturbed by the demons, the Lord certainly appears in different incarnations to give the devotees protection. The devotees following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj should not be disturbed by the demoniac activities of the non-devotees. Rather, they should stick to their principles as sincere servants of the Lord and rest assured that the demoniac activities directed against them will not be able to stop their devotional service. Now the Vaitalikas, or the inhabitants of Vaitalika Loka, they begin to speak. Everyone was there, so relieved that the Lord had done this. "Dear Lord," they said, "because of chanting your spotless glories in great assemblies and arenas of sacrifice, we were accustomed to great respect from everyone. This demon, however, usurped that position. Now, to our great fortune, you have killed this great demon, exactly as one cures a chronic disease." The Kanaras, they speak, "O Supreme Controller, we are ever existing servants of your Lordship. But instead of rendering service to you, we were engaged by this demon in his service, constantly and without remuneration. This sinful man has now been killed by you. Therefore, O Lord Nisringadev, our Master, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Please continue to be our patron." The associates of Lord Vishnu and Vaikuntha offered this prayer: "O Lord, our supreme giver of shelter, today we have seen your wonderful form as Lord Nisringadev, meant for the good fortune of all the world. O Lord, we can understand that Hiranyakashipu is the same Jai who engaged in your service but was cursed by Brahmanas and who thus received the body of a demon. We understand that his having now been killed is your special mercy upon him. Purport. Hiranyakashipu's coming to this earth and acting as the Lord's enemy was prearranged. Jai and Vijay were cursed by the Brahmanas, Shanak, Sanat Kumar, Sanandana, and Sanatana, because Jai and Vijay checked these four Kumaras. The Lord accepted this cursing of his servants and agreed that they would have to go to the material world and would then return to Vaikuntha after serving the term of the curse. Jai and Vijay were very much perturbed, but the Lord advised them to act as enemies, for then they would return after three births. Otherwise, ordinarily, they would have to take seven births. With this authority, Jai and Vijay acted as the Lord's enemies, and now that these two were dead, all the Vishnudutas understood that the Lord's killing of Hiranyakashipu was special mercy bestowed upon them, upon Jai and Vijay. Because their desire, if you remember from the third canto, their desire, they said to the four Kumaras, we accept we have acted improperly, so we accept your curse, but we have a request. We will go to the material world, but please do not let our attention become deviated from your remembrance. So indeed, Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, their concentration was fully focused on the Lord. In enmity, but yet because it was focused on the Lord, it was still considered glorious. It's not recommended, because it is for us, it's not anukulena Krishna nashyamas pratikulena, unfavorable, but yet it is glorified because the focus is upon the Lord. So the Lord blessed these two by personally killing them. And we also heard in the third canto that when their mother Diti heard that they would be killed, not by the curse of the Brahmanas as Venu was killed, but by directly by the Lord, she accepted that as the greatest benediction, and she was herself thrilled. So happy and satisfied. So thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 8th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Nrisimhadev Slays the King of Demons. So, any questions or comments? So yet, although these prayers are very sweet and they talk of their oppression and how the death of Hiranyakashipu by the lotus-like nails of Lord Nrisimhadev removed that oppression, still, Lord Nrisimhadev was still so angry. He was not pacified by their prayers. Now, how is he going to become pacified? We'll begin hearing that in the next chapter. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Lord Nrisimhadev ki jai, Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premanandi.